Chapter 16. Lexi talked the ladies into waiting until mid-afternoon to visit Lorelei and headed to the bakery, glad she was driving her own car and not being chauffeured in Ruth's. The bakery tended to get busy at lunchtime, and she helped Cassie sell cookies, cupcakes, and brownies to the lunch dessert crowd. She filled Cassie in on the case during the lulls. Jack said they didn't find anything in the pies. The last of the lunchtime rush customers were gone, and Cassie had her head in the bakery case, rearranging after the crush of customers practically depleted the supply of chocolate chip cookies. Mary's key seems to be missing, and the book is gone too, so I guess the killer found what he was looking for in the pies.
The key?
Yep.
So, you think it was Chandler? Why would he steal his own book back?
Lexi sprayed the glass on the pastry case with a mixture of vinegar and water and started wiping with a cloth. The case had dozens of fingerprints from customers pointing out their selections. She liked it to be clear and shiny.
It could be Howard, too. He lied about where he was when Mary was killed, and he was seen arguing with Lorelei.
Cassie frowned.
About what?
No idea. Lexi stood back to make sure the glass was clear and streak-free.
The disappearance of the book is very suspicious. Does Jack know about that?
Cassie asked. Lexi smiled.
He does now. Nan sort of broke the case on that one. He didn't even know the book was valuable until I told him Ruth had looked it up.
Anyway, after Sylvia opened the safe at the community center and we realized the book wasn't in it, I texted Jack to keep him in the loop.
Good thing. Can't have Nans and the ladies getting ahead of the cops now, can we?
Cassie pulled a cannoli out, broke it in half, and gave one half to Lexi.
One thing, though. My cousin used to collect books, and they aren't all valued the same. For example, a first edition would be worth a lot more than a later edition. So the book Mary had might not have been valuable at all.
Signatures do add to the value.
Good point. Which reminds me.
Lexi shoved the rest of the cannoli in her mouth and reached for her purse.
There's one person who should be well-versed in the value of old books. Lorelei Summers.
And it just so happens I have a date to pick up Nans and the ladies to pay Lorelei a little visit. 15 minutes later, the ladies were wedged into Lexi's VW, pulling up in front of Lorelei's antique store. It was situated in a quaint old house just off the main drag. A hand-carved sign swung from the porch rafters, proclaiming the name of the store in gold letters on a black background. Hidden Treasures, Antiques, and Collectibles. The shop was packed from floor to ceiling, with all manner of knick-knacks and bric-a-brac. Occupational hazard, Lexi supposed. Lorelei had been in business at this location for years, and must have collected quite a bit of stuff. Lorelei was behind the counter ringing up customers when they arrived, so they looked around for a while until she was free. She was a pleasant-looking woman in her late 60s, short and curvy. She always reminded Lexi of an old hippie, with her long white hair, colorful tie-dyed shirts, and faded jeans. The patchouli incense she had smoldering by the register added to the effect. She finally drifted out from behind her register and over to them in the corner of the store designated for old coins and toys.
Mona, ladies, what can I do for you today?
She seemed pleasant, serene. Lexi half expected her to flash them a peace sign. Nans gave her a polite smile.
We wanted to ask you a few questions about the book that Mary Archer was going to give away as the prize for the pie-eating contest. How much it was worth?
Oh.
Lorelei fussed with a pile of old wooden blocks on the table.
I don't think I'll be much help to you then. Sorry. I don't know anything about the value of old or rare books.
But this is an antique store, Ruth said, frowning. It's your business to know, isn't it?
About the things I sell regularly, yes, Lorelei shrugged. But I only know the types of items I normally deal in. Silver, Limoges china, old dolls. Everything else I only have rudimentary knowledge about. There's just too much to know, and I still do everything by hand. No technology. Don't believe in it.
To prove her point, she reached into the pocket of her loose caftan and pulled out an old cordless phone handset.
See, I don't even have a cell phone. Still use the landline. Even my cash register is manual. No electricity.
Huh. Ida wrinkled her nose.
What about a computer? Inventory? How do you survive in this day and age when everything's on the internet?
Lorelei scoffed.
I've been in business for decades, honey. I don't need to be plugged in to do what I do.
Lorelei, I hate to bring this up, but we've been told that you argued with Howard Archer just before Mary was killed.
Is that true?
Helen asked, staying firmly in the middle of the walkway to avoid brushing her navy blue polyester slacks against any of the dusty relics in the store.
Me? Argue with Howard? About what?
She shook her head, frowning.
No, he's such a nice man. I can't imagine ever disagreeing with him about anything. But that Chandler Bennington, he's a different story altogether.
She scrunched her nose.
If you're looking for suspects in Mary's death, he's one you should be talking to. Not a nice man at all. Why, he wouldn't even sign any of my books.
And why exactly did you want them signed?
Nance's gaze narrowed.
You just said you had no idea of their value.
Oh, I don't. Lorelei gave a dismissive wave. But the tourists love signed books. They sell very well, regardless of the author or their value.
So, you're telling us you didn't talk to Howard Archer at all, then, before the pie-eating contest?
Lexi asked, a knot in her gut telling her something wasn't right about Lorelei's story.
Look, I'm telling you, Chandler Bennington is the one you should be looking at, Lorelei said,
her normally sweet tone turning decidedly defensive.
Howard Archer wouldn't harm a fly. That writer, on the other hand, is mean and petty. It would have taken him 2 seconds to scribble his signature in my books, yet he couldn't be bothered. I mean, who acts that way?
The ladies and Lexi exchanged a look. Nan stepped forward.
Do you have any idea who might have wanted to kill Mary Archer?
What? No.
Lorelei moved back, bumping into the table behind her and toppling the set of carefully stacked wooden blocks. She picked them up, skirted around the table, and headed back behind her register.
Why would I have any idea? I didn't know the woman that well, and there were a lot of people at the party that day. I have no idea. Not sure why you'd even ask me.
More customers came in, and Lorelei escaped to wait on them. Lexi and the ladies headed for the door. At the last second, Nance turned back and asked Lorelei,
"Where were you when Lexi made her announcement about the contest being canceled?"
Lorelei's cheeks reddened.
I don't have to tell you ladies anything.
She flashed a pained smile at her other customers before glaring at the ladies and hissing,
If you must know, I was at the front door helping Sylvia Hensel get the extra bibs for the contest entrance.
Thank you,
Nan said, leading the group outside. The ladies said nothing until about half a block from the store. While they waited at the corner for traffic, Nans looked at Lexi, frowning. That was an odd conversation.
You're telling me, Ida piped in. Talk about defensive.
Ruth agreed. Sounds like she's got something to hide. I don't remember Sylvia mentioning anything about being at the front door with the bibs when Lexi made the announcement, Nan said.
I thought she was with Chandler, Ida said.
Me too, Lexi said. But if she wasn't, then maybe that's the hole in Chandler's alibi.